We have a theme for this year, for 2024, which is aware of God's presence. So that's really, it's our aim as disciples, isn't it? And also reflected in that is God's desire for us. You know, God would desire that we would be a people who know him better and have that opportunity to experience his presence. And so Pastor Simon showed us how that theme is woven throughout the story of the Bible, how from Genesis to Revelation, God has sought out people. He's sought to partner with them, to guide them, to support them, how he partners with people. God is not distant and aloof. He's actually here with us, and he wants people to be aware of his presence in their lives. And so Pastor Simon, he touched on one aspect of that the other week, which was all to do with what we call formation. Some people call that sanctification. It's just the process of being changed or formed by the Holy Spirit. It's those things that noticeable changes that happen in your life because God's presence is part of it. And so that's a really clear and powerful way to become aware of and experience God's presence, right? Another way to become aware of God's presence is through prayer. You know, that's your conversation with God. It's a space where you can bring your whole self to God, ask him any question you want, and expect an answer. So formation and prayer, those are the two areas that we are focusing on this year that come under the aware of God's presence theme. And so I think with that comes a lot of really good things. You know, becoming more aware of God's presence should lead you to an experience of awe and intimacy with God. And along with that, that sense of peace, joy of experiencing God's love. That's what we're striving to get more of in our lives. And so what we want you as disciples to see is that this is not so much a duty as it is a delight in your life. We don't want this to become sort of a legalistic kind of thing, a set of rules that you have to follow to become more holy. We want you to want to do these things because you want to experience more of God. You want to experience more of that awe and intimacy in your own life. And so it does remind me of how the Apostle Paul would start his letters in the New Testament. You know, Paul would pray that people would become aware of and experience God's presence. So, for example, in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 to 18, it says this: "Ever since I first heard of your strong faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for God's people everywhere, I have not stopped thanking God for you. I pray for you constantly, asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you spiritual wisdom and insight so that you might grow in your knowledge of God. I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand the confident hope he has given to those he has called, his holy people who are his rich and glorious inheritance." So this is Paul. He's speaking to the church in Ephesus, and he says, "I have not stopped thanking God for you." And part of the reason I thought of this is because I know that's how we think of this church. You know, Pastor Simon, Pastor Greg, Pastor Margot, the committee, myself, we're so thankful for the people that make up this church. And knowing that those people have a strong faith in Jesus and display that love for one another. And so just like it says there in verses 16 to 17, we pray for you constantly and we ask God that you might grow in your knowledge of him. So in other words, our desire is that you would know him better. All right, and so Paul explains this in a really passionate way. In verse 18 there, he says, "I pray that your hearts would be flooded with light," meaning to have that really penetrate and grip us so deeply that it changes the whole person. And the heart, as it was understood by the ancient Israelites, is the seat of your decision-making. It's the place of your thoughts, your emotions, your desires. It's where you make sense of the world. And it's in that place, in those aspects, that Paul is saying that should be flooded with light. And that's what we need to become more aware of and experience God's presence. And so reading that, I'm sure you'll agree and say this is more than just head knowledge. This is about a presence that has the power to change your heart. So for example, we might know that God is holy, but when our heart is flooded with that truth, then we not only understand it on an intellectual level, but emotionally, we find God's holiness awe-inspiring and beautiful. And we find ourselves just voluntarily wanting to do those behaviours that would please God and honour him, and avoid those that would displease or dishonour him. It changes the whole person. And so I think what's interesting to note in Paul's letters is that if you compare his prayer here in Ephesians 1 with those in, say, Philippians 1, Colossians 1, and actually later in Ephesians 3, what you'll notice is that when Paul prayed for those he loved, his main concern for them was to know God better. That was his main concern for his heart, for their hearts to be flooded with light, for them to become more aware of and experience more of God's presence. What Paul doesn't pray for are changes in their circumstances, you know, which is quite striking when you realise that the people he's praying for lived far less secure lives than we do today. You know, these are people that faced persecution, death from disease, oppression by powerful forces. They were often separated from their loved ones. But despite that, in these prayers, you do not see any petition for a better emperor, for protection from those hostile armies, or even food for the next meal. Right? Paul doesn't pray for those things that we would probably normally have near the top of our list of requests to God. That doesn't mean it's wrong to pray for those things. Paul would have known that Jesus invites us to ask for our daily bread. He would have known that God would deliver us from evil. And actually in 1 Timothy 2, Paul directs his readers to pray for peace, for good government, the needs of the world, all those sorts of things. So in his own prayers, Paul's not giving us a model or a template for prayer in the same way that Jesus did. Instead, what we see simply is what he asked for most frequently from his friends, what he asked for most frequently for the church, what he believed was the most important thing God could give them. All right, so Paul sees knowing God better as a more critical thing to receive, more than a change of circumstances. Paul's main concern was that people in this church who knew Jesus would continue to become more aware of God's presence in their lives, which leads Paul to say things like this. It's Ephesians 6, verse 18. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. So Paul's main concern for these people who already had this strong faith in Jesus and displayed that love for one another was that they would become more aware of and experience more of God's presence. And the two things that help us to do that are captured in this verse. It's formation and prayer. Right? He says, pray in the Spirit. He says, start that conversation with God and do it with the help of the Holy Spirit in your life. Let the Holy Spirit work in you over time and keep that communion, that fellowship happening with God continually. So Paul didn't see formation and prayer as merely ways to get things from God. It's really clear from the way he prayed. Instead, he was looking at these as a way to become more aware of and experience more of that presence. And so Pastor Simon has already taken us through the idea of formation, and today I want to look a bit deeper into prayer. Right, and we've got a clear indication, I think, of the importance of prayer just from those verses that we've read. And those verses should prompt us to ask, is prayer a central part of my life? So in Ephesians 1:15, Paul said, I pray for you constantly. Now, Paul thought that having a constant conversation with God was important. And then Ephesians 6, Paul says, pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. So we see him instruct the church to do that same thing. So we need to ask, is this something that you do every day? You know, do you have that constant conversation with God happening? Are you in fellowship with God in both the good times and the bad times, or is it only a response to trouble and hardship? Right? Or maybe it's just something that you do out of tradition. It's something that you might do in a public setting but not in private. And that's what I mean when I ask, is prayer a central part of your life? And that's the tension that we're going to work through today. And so an interesting place to start, I thought, was with a survey that was done by McGrindle Research. So this is an interesting insight that comes from them. They're known for their studies into Christian faith, particularly in Australia, and how Christian faith is perceived within Australia. And they've done a number of studies over the years. They released this one back in 2021, looking at the spiritual climate in Australia. And so they noted a few general trends, which are things that we've known for a long time. So, for example, over the years, there's been a rising proportion of Australians identifying with no religion, and there's the proportion of people identifying as Christian has been declining. But something really interesting happened during the COVID-19 pandemic. This is what they found. They said the experience of COVID-19 led to 28% of people praying more. And that's regardless of whether or not they believed in God or were a Christian. That's 28% of people just praying more in response to that crisis. And for regular churchgoers, people who did have a belief in God, they found that 63% of those people began praying more. And this, to me, is a really natural response to hardship and uncertainty, isn't it? We've all lived through the pandemic. We know the anxiety that came with that. There was so much uncertainty about what the future would hold. We experienced shortages of essential goods, isolation from friends and family, a fear that things would get worse. And in that space, we see people searching for God's presence in their lives, which is really natural because with that presence comes a peace, even a joy in the midst of a crisis. And so I think that's what this survey is showing us, people searching and wanting to become aware of God's presence in their lives. And that response to reach out to God in a time of need is good. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. But my concern in reading this is that that might be the only response, that people would only seek God in a time of crisis instead of praying at all times and on every occasion, like the Apostle Paul says we should. And so in line with that, I recently read Timothy Keller's book on prayer. So many of you would know Timothy Keller's work. He was a famous preacher. He's written a lot of books on the Christian faith and Christian disciplines. And in his book on prayer, he describes how it wasn't until the second half of his adult life that he really discovered the importance of prayer. And similar to the experience of many people during the pandemic, I think, it wasn't until he faced a crisis that he saw just how important it was. And so he describes how it was during a time when his wife, Kathy, was struggling with the effects of Crohn's disease, and he himself was diagnosed with thyroid cancer. So during that time, it was actually his wife, Kathy, who urged him to muster the self-discipline to pray regularly with her. And so she asked him to pray with her every night. And this is the way she put it. This is the way she conveyed the importance of prayer. She says, imagine you were diagnosed with such a lethal condition that the doctor told you that you would die within hours unless you took a particular medicine, a pill every night before going to sleep. Imagine that you were told that you could never miss it or you would die. Would you forget? Would you not get around to it some nights? No. It would be so crucial that you wouldn't forget and you would never miss. Well, if we don't pray together, we're not going to make it because of all we're facing. You know, I'm certainly not. We have to pray. We can't just let it slip our minds. So Timothy Keller goes on to say that at that moment is when he realized the seriousness of the issue and with the help of the Holy Spirit started a regular routine of praying together with his wife every night, something that has helped them both become more aware of and experience more of God's presence in their lives. And so the difference there is that from that time of crisis, prayer became a central part of their lives. They didn't let that go. And it might have started there, but it became something so much more than just a response to a need. It became something that made them more aware of God's presence in their lives and led to them eventually experiencing more of that awe, more of that intimacy with God. And so what I take from that is that your private prayer life is really important. And Jesus would agree. He says this in Matthew 6, verses 5 to 6. When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on street corners and in synagogues where everyone can see them. I tell you the truth, This is all the reward they will ever get. But when you pray, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you, and pray to your Father in private. Then your Father, who sees everything, will reward you. And so these verses, they come just before Jesus gives his disciples the Lord's Prayer, so before he takes them through a template for how to pray. And before he does that, he presents them with what I think is a really profound idea about prayer. He says, the real test of your prayer life is whether or not you do it in private. He says, when you pray, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you, and pray to your Father in private. So he says, some people will do this just for show, to appear godly maybe. And we can probably extend that to say that many people will do this when they're required to by some sort of cultural or social expectation, or perhaps in response to the anxiety caused by some sort of crisis, you know, like we saw happening during the pandemic. But Jesus says, those that have this genuinely lived relationship with God, you know, those that know him as a father, will inwardly want to pray more and do it even though nothing outside is pressing them to do so. And Jesus says that this comes with a reward, right? That your Father, who sees everything, will reward you. Right? And the reward he's talking about is that greater awareness of God's presence in your life. You know, something that inspires awe and leads to intimacy with God. It's a place where you can experience his love, joy and peace. A place where you can bring your whole self to God, examine your heart, see clearly what is there, and then deal with it. You know, there are lots of rewards that come with having that private prayer life. So in giving priority to prayer, Jesus isn't saying that our communal gatherings are not important. He's not saying that we can't experience God through our gatherings together as Christians. He's saying that your private prayer life is really important, and a wider understanding of the Gospels will show us that that's not all that is required. You know, he's saying that the community of the church, participation in corporate worship, as well as your private devotion are all required. And so instruction from the Bible, silent meditation, all of those things are in there. But what Jesus is emphasizing for us is that if you want to become aware of God's presence, your private prayer life really matters. And so what I'd hope you'd take from this today is a private prayer life is something that we need to deeply cultivate. All right, the number one thing that the Apostle Paul prayed for is that followers of Jesus would know God better, you know, and that their hearts would be flooded with that life. So more than just an intellectual pursuit, he wanted them to be aware of God's presence in their lives. And with them, he tells them to pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion, right? And Jesus says, pray to your Father in private, right? Your private prayer life is really important because it is the way that you become aware of God's presence. And so if prayer is something that we need to deeply cultivate, there are some ideas that I have for you to get that started if it isn't part of your life already. I'd say start a rhythm of prayer, you know, whether it's before a meal or it's first thing in the morning, it's something you do before you go to bed. Start that regular routine, a rhythm of prayer where you do something every single day and just pray over those things. Pray over the meal. Pray for your family. Start with something simple and make it a routine. I think that's a great way to start it. Another idea might be to read a psalm. Use it for inspiration. If you're thinking you don't have the words to say, read a psalm and then use it for inspiration. Pray like the psalmists did. Start a journal. That might not be for everyone, but I think it is still a really powerful way. When you write down your prayers and reflect on them later, you get to see the transformations that are happening in your life. You look back on those things and be reminded of the miracles that have happened while you've been praying. And in that space, take some time to do some self-reflection, to discover the real you. You know, take notice of what you spend your time thinking about when no one is looking, you know, when nothing is forcing you to think about anything in particular. Right? And ask, at those moments, do your thoughts go towards God? Do you take the initiative and confess your sins to God? Do you make a habit of thanking God for all the good things that you have? Do you praise him for who he is? You know, and are you aware of his presence working inside of you? All right. So while we have a little bit of time this morning, I'd invite you just to take 1 or 2 minutes just to pray together. We just have a minute or two of silence and we'll pray together. And if you're like me, then lots of thoughts are going to float to the top of your mind, lots of maybe important things, things that are causing you anxiety, also all the trivial things in life, they float to the top. I'd invite you to take this opportunity just to lay those things down at Jesus' feet. Tell God how much you love him in that place and just release those things that are floating to the top of your mind. And then in that place, just become aware of the Holy Spirit inside of you and ask him to help you with your private prayer life. So we'll just take a minute or two now just to quietly pray. Yes, Lord, thank you so much for your presence in our lives, Lord. I pray like the Apostle Paul did. I pray, Lord, that each and every one of us here would come to know you better, Lord, that our hearts would be flooded with your light. I just pray, Lord, that each and every day we take that opportunity to grow closer to you. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us with that. I pray that you would help us to cultivate that private prayer life, that you would help us, remind us to make that time to have that conversation with you so that it evolves and transforms into that constant conversation. Because we know, Lord, that what comes with that is a lot of good things. And we just thank you so much, Lord, that your presence gives us peace. Your presence gives us joy, that we're reminded of just how much we are loved in that place. So I pray, Lord, that you work through us in a powerful way with the power of your Holy Spirit. For listening this morning. I know that for some of you this is just scratching the surface, but don't worry, we've got a lot more to talk about with prayer coming up this year. We've got a series called Conversations with God that Simon introduced you to on our Vision Sunday, looking at a range of different people in the Bible and how they prayed and their experiences, some practical things you can take from that. But if you want more, I would also encourage you just to check out the series we did in 2022 called Teach Us to Pray. That looked at a lot of really practical things that you can do in your prayer life. So thank you for listening.